All right, this is David Kordsmeyer with the TechX Minority Report, and we're here at Macworld 2008, and I'm here with Steve Williams. And Steve, why don't you introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Steve Williams, and I'm the Executive Director of POWER, People Organized to Win Employment Rights, which is a grassroots organization based in San Francisco. And we got two organizing projects, one organizing out in Bayview Hunters Point, organizing mostly black folks against all the gentrification and displacement that's been going on out there. And we've been trying to fight for affordable housing and living wage jobs. And then we also have been organizing immigrant Latinas, mostly women who've come to the United States and are forced to do the work for rich folks in San Francisco, cleaning people's houses and raising people's kids. And we're fighting to try to increase the wages and improving the working conditions for all the women who are working in that industry.
So tell me, because that's a really interesting area. It's a group of people that we work with through our project, actually helping them use the web to market themselves. And, you know, this is an avenue for them to make money. So what can they do as people who may not be citizens, who may not speak the language, maybe citizens, but don't speak the language, or there's a variety of issues, but what can they do to improve their conditions?
Well, I mean, I think one of the first things that people can do is just come together. You know, like, it's easy to sort of pick off people one by one when people are divided. But when people start coming together and sharing their stories, then people begin to understand that the situations that they're in aren't just happening to them, but they're happening to a broad grouping of people. And as people begin to understand how the system is actually set up to not take advantage of people's intelligence, wisdom, and courage, then there's more and more opportunity for people to stand up and fight to try to make a change. So I'd say that one of the first things people can do is just get together with other folks who are in similar situations.
Okay, and so if I were an independent worker, housekeeper, nanny, you name it, the folks are out there right now. How do I get a hold of you? How do I find out about you? Your organization in particular?
Yeah, well, our organization is located on 7th Street, 32 7th Street between Market and Mission, right in downtown. But we also go out and try to get in contact with people. So it's not just folks' responsibility to come out to us, but we also see it as our responsibility to go out and talk to people in the community.
Okay.
So we go out and talk to people, like, a lot of times women, when they're taking care of people's kids, they'll take the kids out to the park to go play. And then it's also a time where they get to meet up with other nannies, other women who are raising kids. And so then what we wind up doing is going out to those parks and mostly looking for Latina women who are taking care of white kids. And then we start going up and talking to them, mostly in Spanish. And if, you know, any of the parents are around, normally they can't speak Spanish, so they don't understand what it is that we're talking about. And they start wrapping down all of the abuses and harassment that they wind up going through as domestic workers. And through that, then, you know, we see it as our responsibility to go out to the parks, to the laundromats, to the health clinics, to begin talking to women and talking to them about what their opportunities are and what they've seen as their problems.
Okay. Now, do you see this as an effort to help these women, in some cases, I don't know if there's men involved, but women, is this an opportunity to help them find a way out? Is that primarily, or is it more a way of helping them get what they deserve as in terms of rights and better conditions?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's sort of a combination of both of those. And I think that that's true both with the Women Workers Project and then also with the Baby Organizing Project. Okay. A lot of it has been making sure that individual people aren't screwed over by the system. So one of the things that we did in the Women Workers Project is that we created a negotiation class so that the women learn how to be able to negotiate a contract with their employer to make sure that they're actually getting paid what they deserve and make sure that their wages, their working conditions are all in line with the state law.
Okay.
But then also, part of what we've seen is that even if one worker is able to negotiate a better contract, that it's still the industry, women are still getting exploited. Still out in Bayview Hunter's Point, there's a massive process of displacement and gentrification taking place. So even if one family, one woman winds up sort of getting over on the system, you've still got the system set up trying to exploit and take care of all of the rest of the people in the community. So for us, it is really about trying to get out of that oppression, out of that exploitation. And the way that we see it, the only way that that can happen is if we change the system at its roots.
Okay. Now, as a person who has used migrant workers or day workers or the variety of terms people use, am I and all the people like me, are we perpetuating the system? I mean, of abuse? Is that, I mean, what can I do? What can the average person do who doesn't really think twice about the situation a lot of these people face in terms of they got their own families to worry about, they have their own problems, they got money they need to send back home. What can we do? I mean, what's the message to, you know, the people, rich white folks who are out there hiring these people to raise their kids?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it starts at a basic one-on-one level. I think that one of the most important things is just to ask the person who you're hiring how their life is, whether or not they feel like you're actually treating them with the respect and dignity that they deserve. And I think a lot of employers are scared about what the answers might be, so they never ask that question. So I think, you know, trying to find out more about people's lives.
But there's a person here. This is a person.
This is a person. Yeah. Right, exactly. They may have kids here. They may have kids back in their home country. It's important to really try to find out all of that information, whatever information the employee is willing to share.
Sure.
But then I think another part of that then is that everybody who hires sort of immigrant laborers, undocumented workers, it's critical that people pay a fair wage. Just because people may not have their papers of citizenship doesn't mean that they're willingly subjecting themselves to indentured servitude or to be paid less than the minimum wage. People still have to buy the same food here in the United States. People still have to afford housing. And so it's critical as we employ people that we don't do it and then look to try to take a shortcut on the wages that we pay. But it's critical that we pay fair wages. And then the last thing that I would say is that it's important for all of us, people who are born in the United States, citizens of the United States, to recognize that the government of this country is creating conditions around the world where people are forced to migrate. People are forced to leave their families and try to make ends meet here so that they can support their families back in their home countries. And I think one of the most positive, progressive things that people in the United States can do is to hold the government of the United States accountable and to say that we want progressive immigration legislation that actually recognizes the humanity and recognizes the human rights of everybody around the world.
That's well said. So, let me ask you a tough question then. Are these good American jobs? This is the political season, so I hear a lot about, you know, good American jobs being taken by undocumented workers. And I think a scenario I heard recently was back in the summer, someone was complaining or lamenting the fact that the day workers now are making like $30 an hour in Tahoe during the summertime because nobody there wants to do the job. So are these really good American jobs that are being taken, or what is behind that statement?
My grandmother was a domestic worker in Georgia.
Uh-huh.
She raised white kids. My grandfather worked as a day laborer, got paid less than minimum wage, and when they got married and they raised their kids, they were clear that they didn't want their kids to have to go through the same experiences that they did. My grandparents were very clear that those were not good jobs. They weren't good jobs for my grandparents, and they aren't good jobs for the people who are forced to do that work now. And the reason they're not good jobs isn't because it's not honest, decent work, but it's because people are treated as subhuman who do that work. They're not given good working conditions, and they're not paid fairly and adequately for the work that they're doing. I would suggest that we have to create a massive job creation program so that the hundreds of thousands of unemployed African Americans, Latinos, Chinese folks who are looking for jobs every day, that all of those folks actually have an opportunity to get employment that allows them to meet their basic needs and to take care of their families and to achieve the future that they and their children deserve.
Well, I mean, I think for me, like, you know, walking in here, I think it was, you know, it's Curtis Mayfield, right, who talks about the fly in the buttermilk. I mean, you walk into this, to this conference, this expo, I mean, it's just, it's white people all over the place, and there are very, very few people of color. And I think that that's not just indicative of what's happening here at the expo, but I think it's true throughout the industry.
Yeah, so definitely true.
So then I think it's absolutely critical for more African-American, Latino, Asian Pacific Islander folks to move into the tech industry, particularly because I think that a lot of those technologies are technologies that we can use to try to improve the conditions in our communities, to confront the problems that we're facing on a day-to-day basis. And I would say that, you know, that's not going to be easy. There isn't going to be a welcome mat that's rolled out. There isn't going to be an extensive outreach program that winds up taking place. And I think that, you know, in some ways, the small numbers of people of color who are currently in the industry have already sort of acted as, you know, sort of like the Rosa Parks, the high school students in Little Rock, Arkansas, who sort of broke through in the first wave. But I think it's now really important for other young folks of color who are interested in technology or, you know, enjoy playing with computers right now to think about this as a real job option. But then as people get into those jobs and get into this line of work, then I think it's important for people to maintain a connection to their community and not leave and just sort of get caught up in the glitz and glamour of Cupertino or yeah. Palo Alto or whatever yep. else, yep. but to understand that the conditions that exist in East Palo Alto or in Bayview Hunters Point or in Chinatown continue to exist, and that it's important for us to take the skills, the expertise, and the technology that we're able to master and bring those back to our community to improve the conditions there.
I don't know.